Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
One time, there was an old mule who worked for a farmer. This farmer had had this mule for many, many years, and the mule served faithfully and did his best for the farmer. But as it happens to all of us, the mule got old, and the farmer began to think, I don't need this mule any longer. He can't help me. So one day, the mule was walking through the farm, and he happened to fall into a deep well. The well was dry, but no one had covered the well, and the mule fell down into the bottom of the well that was dry with a loud thud, and then he started to realize he couldn't get out because it was deep in the ground. So he began to bray, bray, until the farmer came, and the farmer saw the mule in the dry well, and the farmer felt sorry for the mule, but he realized that this well was useless to him, and the mule was old, and the well was deep, and there was no way to bring the mule out. So the farmer decided the only thing he could do was take a shovel and bury the old mule alive in the dry well. So the farmer took the shovel and began to shovel dirt into the well, and the dirt began to fall on the back of the mule. Hey! The mule was panicking. The mule became hysterical. The mule thought, this farmer, whom I've served so well, is now going to bury me alive. And the mule was braying in agony and panic. Didn't know what to do. But as the dirt was falling on the mule, he began to shake it off. And when he shook it off, the dirt fell at the bottom of the well. So the mule began to shake it off. And then as the dirt fell on the bottom of the well, the mule stamped it onto his feet. In other words, he shook it off and stepped up higher. He shook it off and stepped up higher. He shook it off and stepped up higher. The more the farmer shoveled the dirt, the mule shook it off and stepped up higher. Come on, shake it off and step up higher. Everybody, shake it off and step up higher. Shake it off and step up higher. And as the dirt began to get compacted under the bottom of the well, the more the farmer poured the dirt, the more the mule shook it off and stepped up higher. Shook it off and stepped up higher. Until finally, in spite of the insult, in spite of the dirt, in spite of what was being thrown at him, in spite of the fact that the farmer tried to bury him, eventually the dirt that the mule was shaking off got compacted to the bottom of the well, and the ground began to get higher and higher and higher, and the mule kept thinking, I'm just going to shake it off and step up higher, shake it off and step up higher, shake it off and step up higher, until finally the level of the dirt got so high the mule jumped out of the well and kicked that old farmer. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because the mule realized that no matter what came against him, no matter what was thrown at him, no matter the insult, no matter the danger that he was in, if he would have the right response to adversity, what came to bury him would boost him. What came to bury him would bless him. And I came to declare to you tonight that no matter what the devil threw at you in 2020, what came to bury you, if you will shake it off and step up higher, what came to bury you is going to boost you if you'll shake it off and step up higher. Somebody shout, I'm shaking it off and I'm stepping up higher. The adversities that come along to bury us have within them the power to benefit us. In 2020, the devil may have planned your funeral. He may have been throwing dirt on your grave to bury you. Maybe someone you loved and someone you served and someone you worked for suddenly decided he didn't need you anymore. Maybe you were in a pit. People started throwing dirt at you to bury you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you got to shake it off and step up higher. For what the enemy meant for harm, God is going to turn it for good. The adversity that advanced against you is actually going to serve to accelerate you to a higher level. You may be down, but God is going to lift you up. You may not know where to turn, but God is going to turn it around. 2020 seemed like bad news to a lot of people. A lot of people tonight are celebrating the departure of 2020 with praises and rejoicing things. That was a bad year. They didn't see any good in the year. But I see good. For I see in the midst of this growth and opportunities. I see God calling us deeper to Him. I see God raising faith in our hearts. I see God developing us with patience and perseverance. I see God teaching us to shake it off and step up higher. I hear Him reminding us that He has kept us and He will continue to keep us, for He is on the throne. No pandemic, no government shutdown, no directive, no election, no problem, no economic difficulty can remove Jesus Christ from the throne, and He's using every circumstance to build us and to boost us, to draw us closer to Him, to be more committed to Him. And I have a word from God to share with you tonight, so hear the word of the Lord. God wants you to know there's a purpose in everything you've passed through. Every difficulty, every obstacle, everything that seemed like a setback, God said He's going to use it for good in your life. He's using these things to build your faith. He's using them to draw you closer to Him. He's using every difficulty to deepen you in your devotion to Him. And for those who hear His call tonight, we will understand and see that God is inviting us to a new level of faith. He's calling us to a new level of anointing. He's calling us to a new level of power. He's calling us to a new level of prominence. He's calling us to a new position where our words will shake nations and our commitment will shake kingdoms, and we will see God's glory in us if we will shake it off and step up higher. It's not time to despair. It's time to shake it off and step up higher. It's time to draw near to God. It's time to step into higher praise. It's time to step into higher anointing. It's time to step into higher wisdom. It's time to step into a higher capacity. It's time to step into a higher strength and step into a higher commitment. It's time to shake off the adversity and step up higher in surrender. For the fact is, in the kingdom of God, what looks like the way up is actually the way down, and what looks like the way down is the way up. And when you want to go higher with God, if you want a higher wisdom and a higher anointing and a higher power and a higher strength and a higher position, you've actually got to go down. You've got to go down on your knees and go down at the altar and go down in surrender and down at His feet to worship Him and down at His feet to commit your life to Him and down at His feet, for you become highest of all when you're lowest in the presence of God. That's why I hear God speaking to me, to all of us, to this body and to the church worldwide, that He's calling us to become a living sacrifice in 2021. He's calling us to the altar. For the Bible admonishes us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's everybody, not pastors and prophets and apostles, but brothers and sisters to all of us, because of the great mercy God has shown to us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him, an offering that is only to God and please Him. And as the Lord blesses the reading of His word to your heart tonight, understand that in this passage, in this simple verse, we're going to capture three truths that will sustain us as we go down at His feet so He can lift us higher. We see three truths about living sacrifice, and here's the first truth tonight. The motivation to be a living sacrifice is the mercy of God. See, our text tonight tells us God's mercy motivates us. Listen again. It says, because of the great mercy God has shown to us. And I believe God has shown all of us a great mercy. He's the most merciful God of all. For Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. And I believe it's the mercy of God that's kept us up to now. I believe it's the mercy of God that has kept us through 2020. We're here because of God's mercy. After all, any one of us could have died. Already in 2020, nearly 2 million people around the globe have died. It could have caught you. It could have caught your wife or your family. It could have come. But here we are in the presence of God, praising and worshiping Him. We didn't deserve God's mercy. It's not something we earned because we're better than other people. Even when we didn't deserve it, the Bible says He showed us mercy. For Titus 3:5 says He saved us, not because of the righteous things we'd done, but because of His mercy. Somebody say mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. And I believe tonight God has shown us mercy. He saved us by His mercy. He's kept us by His mercy. He's given us life by His mercy. For the Bible says in Ephesians 2:4-5, God is rich
in mercy. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. I know times God's shown me mercy. I know there are times when I could have died but didn't. I remember when I was just 5 years old, I lay in a hospital bed and I was hemorrhaging blood and the doctors didn't know what to do. And my mother sat by my bedside and said to God, if you'll save my son, have mercy on him. I will give praise to you. And God came down in that hospital room and delivered me when I was 5 years old. And I'm standing here preaching today when I was bleeding from my throat because of the mercy of God. I remember when I was 16 years old, I'd gone out to a party. I thought I was going to have some fun, but on the way to the party, we got in a car accident. I can remember sitting in the back seat, and I looked to my right, and all I saw was headlights. And all of a sudden, the car came and hit right the very place where I was, but I got up and walked out of that car accident. I didn't have a scratch on me. I wasn't bleeding. I wasn't bruised because of the mercy of God. I remember one time I boarded an airplane. I got on the airplane, buckled my seat, we took off, and as soon as we took off, the plane began to shake, and we made a U-turn and went right back to the airport. It was the shortest flight I'd ever been on, less than 1 minute. We took off, and we turned around and came back, and we were landing again. We all looked around and said, what happened? The pilot said, I'm sorry, we have a problem. But don't you know, if he hadn't detected that, we would have gone off into the air and could have crashed. But God had mercy. But those are just the times I know. You all know times when God's had mercy on you. You can think of times when he spared you. But friends, for every one time you know that God had mercy, there are multitudes of times you don't know about. There are times this year when COVID was in the atmosphere, but God protected you. If you believe it, say amen. There are times this year when you were headed down the highway or the Tema motorway and there was an accident waiting to happen. The devil had set a trap for you. He had a lorry or a tipper truck or a tro-tro coming right out. You, but suddenly the angels were dispatched from heaven and they rescued you and they saved you because God had mercy. You don't even know the times God saved you. You don't even know the times he protected you. You don't even know the times the angels stood guard around you. You're not even aware, but I'm telling you, God is rich in mercy. It was a time when someone evil planned against you. They tried their best with their magic and their witchcraft, but you were praying and God had mercy. Don't you know that God's rescued you from death? Don't you know there's been times you didn't even know it? You didn't even were aware of it, but God's done miracles. He's had mercy. And some of the times when it didn't look like things were so good, some of the times when things looked bad and you were wondering where God was, he was actually working things for good. For the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, listen to the word of God. It says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And see, I believe that God can work everything for good. Even the setbacks you've faced this year, even the things you've suffered this year, even the hardships you've had, God can work it for good. If you'll just begin to praise him, if you'll begin to rejoice in his mercy, if you'll acknowledge tonight that he is holding your life with his mercy and he's working for good in your mercy, you're going to be surprised how in the future you will look back and see that even in 2020, God showed you mercy. That's the lesson we can learn from an old wise man in the village. This old wise man seemed to have a cheerful disposition no matter what happened to him. In fact, everyone in the village was always commenting on this man because nothing ever seemed to bother him. He always looked on the bright side. One day, something happened that everyone in the village thought would surely make this man shake, and they would surely expect him to complain. You see, this man had only one prized possession, a beautiful white horse. And one day, this horse jumped the fence and ran off into the bush. And the wise man had lost the only thing of value he had. His only horse had now gone. Well, his neighbors came around to console him, and they sat down and said, oh, my friend, we've heard your bad news, and we came to sympathize. This is a disaster. This is misfortune. And the old wise man said, how do you know it's bad news? And all the people said, what do you mean, how do you know it's bad news? Of course it's bad news. Your only horse has run away. You've lost him. And the wise man said, well, we shall see whether it's bad news or not. All the people walked away scratching their head, wondering how the man could be so foolish. He'd had a setback. But 1 week later, as the man stood at his property and looked up into the distance, he saw his white horse running back home to his compound. And in the company of his white horse, there were four other wild horses with him. And the man was able to capture them. And instead of one horse, he had five. And all the neighbors came around and said this was good news indeed. But then 1 week later, his young son was trying to train one of the wild horses, and the wild horse threw the young son off, and the young son fell on the ground and broke his leg. And all the neighbors came back and they said, "Oh, we heard about your misfortune. We're so sorry for your bad news." And the wise man said, "How do you know it's bad news?" And all the people said, "What are you talking about? Your only son has broken his leg. Of course it's bad news." The man said, "Well, we shall see." And sure enough, about a week later, war broke out in that land, and the king of that country sent his army soldiers into the village to recruit all the able young men and force them into the army. But because the wise man's son had a broken leg, they didn't take him, they left him. All the other boys in the village were taken to war, and many of them died, but the old wise man's son was spared. "You see," said the old wise man, "how do you know it's bad news? The things that seem bad, God can turn for good." And I'm here to declare to you today that what you thought was bad in 2020, God is going to work it for good. In His mercy that is abundant, He's rescued you, He's saved you, and He's working behind the scenes to bring good in your life. You think, "I've suffered financial hardship. How can that be a good thing?" But I believe in a God whose mercy is so rich, whose power is so great. I believe in a God who can turn every situation and work it for good. He can close a door but open a horizon. Some of you say, "Well, I was planning to go to U.S., but I couldn't travel because of COVID." But how do you know that's bad news? Maybe you would have gone there and gotten COVID. Maybe you would have gone there and gotten shot in the USA. Hey! God is working behind the scenes to bring about something better. Some of you are crying tears tonight because you said, "That man left me." Sister, how do you know it's bad news? That worthless, lazy, no good man has gone. Give God some praise. God's got somebody better for you. Give the Lord a shout. How do you know it's bad news? Because I believe in a God who can turn it around. I believe in a God who can work it for good. I believe in a God who's rich in mercy. And I believe that when His mercy is never ending, it's new every morning. When I believe that His mercy is new, I can rejoice in all things at all times. I can give a sacrifice of praise. For I'm here to declare to you tonight, God will not ignore a sacrifice of praise. If you'll get up and praise Him, if you'll worship Him when things don't look good, when things look dark, when things look bad, if you'll lift up your hands and praise Him, God will respond. For He never ignores a sacrifice of praise. He's a merciful God, and He responds to us when we praise Him and bring Him our offering of praise. And that leads us to our second truth tonight. You see, the mercy of God motivates us to obey the mandate. The mandate of God comes to each of us to be a living sacrifice. For Romans 12, 1 says, "Because of the great mercy God has shown us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him." And here's what that means. Because God has been merciful to you, because God has turned it around for you, there's something that you should do. There's a reasonable response you should give. There's something you should come and offer to God. And that's not just a song, or not just a gift, or not just a prayer. It's your very life. And His mercy to you presents a mandate to you to give your life in surrender to Him. For when you consider how He saved you, when you consider how He kept you, when you consider how He's brought you into the new year, you have a mandate to offer your praise to Him, to offer your life to Him. In light of God's mercy and goodness, there is no other response that makes sense other than to say, "Lord, have your way." For each and every one of us deserve death and judgment, but God spared us. He sent His only Son. We haven't treated God more badly than anyone else. We wouldn't treat our earthly fathers as bad as this. We wouldn't treat earthly kings this way. And yet, in spite of our wickedness, in spite of our sin, He wasn't willing to let you go. For the Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 18-20, "For you know God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom. And I'm here to declare to you tonight, you've got to understand the mercy of God is a mandate on your life to give yourself utterly over to him. For Jesus gave his life as a ransom for us. He put himself in our place and took our punishment upon him. Didn't he wear the crown of thorns? The Roman soldiers pressed it in and beat it into his head until the blood ran down. Didn't he take the whip on his back? Lead-tipped whip struck him 39 times till his flesh was ripped. Didn't he carry the cross up the hill so that the mercy of God could reach you? Didn't he nail himself to the cross? He was the one who created the tree. He was the one who created the lead that the nails were made of, but he accepted them and surrendered. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have delivered himself from the cross, but he thought of you. It was his mercy. And in light of his mercy, what should your response be? It should be to give yourself as a living sacrifice. For he hung naked and suffered and bled and died so that we could be saved. For the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ controls us. He died for all so that those who live would not continue to live for themselves. He died for them and was raised from death so that they would live for him. He gave his all for us. That's why Romans 12:1 says, considering what he has done, it is only right that you should worship him in this way. Tonight, I'm here to challenge you to go higher with Christ, to go deeper with him. I'm here to tell you, in light of his mercy, there's no other response but to lay your life on the altar and become a living sacrifice. That's the lesson we can learn from an Australian girl named Roxanne Holmes. Roxanne grew up in a troubled home. She was abused, neglected at 11 years of age. Her mother abandoned her. She was given over to foster care. The government of Australia put her in home after home, but because of the hurt and the abuse, she was so scarred inside she couldn't receive love. She became uncontrollable. She attempted suicide multiple times. She got caught stealing and damaging property. One time she threw herself out of a hospital window trying to kill herself. It seemed there was no hope for Roxanne Holmes. But then one day she met an Australian filmmaker named James Ricketson, and James decided to show love to Roxanne. He was the first adult who'd ever showed her love, who ever encouraged her. And in spite of all the love he poured out upon her, Roxanne abused him. She stole from him. She ran away from him. But still, James pursued her and brought her into his home and loved her as his own daughter. Eventually, he adopted her. And gradually, the love began to change Roxanne. And then in 2016, she had the opportunity to repay the debt she owed James. For James had gone to Cambodia to make a film. He was arrested by the government and was accused of spying. There were baseless charges. There was no evidence. But James was put in prison. And after a mockery of a trial, he was sentenced to 6 years behind bars. The prison he was sent to was so overcrowded, the men had to take turns lying down to sleep. It was filled with varmints and all kinds of disease. The guards abused him, and James feared that he wouldn't even survive a year in prison. Back home in Australia, Roxanne Holmes would not give up. She remembered the love James had shown her. She remembered the sacrifice he'd made, and she went on a campaign. She began to petition the government. She began to petition online. She went on television. She began to appeal to people. Come on, you've got to save my dad. We've got to get him out of the prison. James gave me a voice, Roxanne said. When every other adult turned their back on me, James stood by me and made me strong. So I will use that strength to campaign for his freedom. And Roxanne's campaign worked, for suddenly in September 2018, the Cambodian government unexpectedly released James Ricketson and gave him a pardon. It was her outstanding effort, pressuring the government to do the right thing, that brought this response. I honestly believe, she said, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for James. And her act of service was repaying a debt. And in the same way tonight, none of us would be here if it wasn't for Jesus. None of us would have survived this year if it wasn't for his mercy. None of us would be here to worship him, to be here in his presence, except for Jesus coming to die for us. And in light of his mercy, considering everything he's done, what should be our response? Is there anything you won't do for him? Is there anything you won't give for him? Is there anything that you can't obey him in? For just as Roxanne had to repay the debt to James out of love, so we too have a God who loved us and gave himself for us, and we too have an obligation to come back and sacrifice our lives for him. For David said in Psalm 116, 12 to 19, "What can I offer the Lord for all he's done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. O Lord, I am your servant. You have freed me from my chains. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people in the house of the Lord." And God is calling us today to come and take the cup of salvation and offer ourselves to him and manifest our living sacrifice in our daily deeds. For you see, the third truth we see from this passage is there's something we must do. We must manifest becoming a living sacrifice. We can't just spout words. We can't just say prayers. But God is calling all of us to lay our lives on the altar this year and draw closer to him. Because of the great mercy God has shown us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to him. And God is calling us to leave aside everything that doesn't please God, and to put aside every sin and every selfishness and every bondage in our lives and begin to please him. For Romans chapter 6, 13 says, "Give yourselves completely to God since you've been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Let everything you have become his. Let everything you are become his. Let all of your life in 2021 be a living sacrifice. For when you are motivated by his mercy and you understand his mandate, you will manifest a commitment in good deeds and generous living." Don't just say, "I love God." Don't just come on a watch night, wave your hanky and dance, but make it a devotion that carries you. For the good news is, when you give all of your life to Jesus, he gives all of himself to you. For Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, "And because you belong to Christ, you are complete, having everything you need." When you belong to Jesus, you get everything in return. You get life and peace and health and prosperity. We often think of being a living sacrifice as something difficult or something dangerous or something we don't want to do. But the opposite is true. When you're a living sacrifice, you are closest to God, for you are closest to God on the altar. The altar is the place where heaven meets earth. The altar is the place where God's presence come down. The altar is the place where the fire comes from heaven and consumes us. And when we're on the altar as a living sacrifice for him, we are sheltered, we are covered, we are protected by his power, and we are transformed. 2020 has come and gone. Less than 10 minutes remain in the old year. God's mercy has seen you through, and in light of that, our response must be, "Lord, I give you my life as a living sacrifice in 2021. Let me respond to your mercy with a wholehearted devotion. Come and meet me on the altar and consume my life with your presence." For there, on the altar, you receive his mercy, his power, his anointing, and his love that will carry you through every day of 2021.
God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're here.